You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on HoopFeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel, your host from Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on HoopFeed each and every week. Now, earlier this year, one of the great coaches of women's basketball got an honor that was well overdue, and that was an induction into the Naismith Hall of Fame. And we had a wonderful tribute to Coach Tara Vanderveer with several of her ex-players on, but we never got the opportunity to actually talk to the coach herself. And I am thrilled and pleased to welcome the coach to Dishin' and Swishin' for the first time. How are you today, Coach?
I'm doing great, David.
Well, we had a wonderful time celebrating your career with some of your greatest players, from Jen Azey through Jane Appel and Candace Wiggins and all the more in between. And they just talked about what a major impact you were on all of these wonderful women's lives. And for that, first and foremost, I want to congratulate you for being such an impact person on people's lives.
Well, you know, David, I think that I've been really fortunate to work at great places, and I have, I have a lot of really talented people around me, including the players that you mentioned, who are just the 4 years that they played went too quickly.
Well, let's start with that day this summer, and tell me, being there with all the luminaries and all the peers, and I'm sure a number of the people that you've respected and followed over your career as well, how much fun was that to be inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame?
It was an absolute blast, and the most fun thing was having my family there. Obviously it was fun to meet people, and, it was just great to take pictures with Charles Barkley or, Dr. J or people like that. But the thing that was really, the thing that hit me the hardest was when I turned a corner in the hotel, and right by the elevator, my whole family was waiting, my mom and brother and sisters and brother-in-law and nieces and nephews and all that, and they were all just dressed to a T, and it was, that's what really hit me. It was just a wonderful, wonderful time.
Well, that's right. We still claim you up here in New England as one of ours. So,
Thank you. Regardless
of how you do against Connecticut each year, you're still a New Englander here.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk a little bit about first, let's look at this year's team. And, of course, it's going to start with discussion of the sisters.
Right. Well, Neko Gumake is a senior, and her younger sister, or as Chene says, little sis, is a sophomore. She's not a little sis. They are both doing exceptionally well. First of all, they're just really fine young women. They're excellent students. They're very positive, upbeat, and just great, great kids to be around, young women to be around. And I think they lead by example. They are leaders of our team and how hard they practice, kind of how they're in early, working on their game and always wanting to improve. They're very coachable. So they're just really exciting people to coach, and it's really fun.
And now they've added even more international experience playing with some of the best in the world this summer, and that's only going to enhance both of their games.
I think so. When you play on a team, World University Games team, that gave them some competition during the summer, gave them great experience, more gold medals. That was a fun experience for them. But I think that, what they really value is their teammates at Stanford and, the opportunity to compete, in the NCAA. And they're very excited about this year, as I am.
Well, you've got those two back, and then you have the big girls. Sarah Booth and Jocelyn Tinkle are back, and I'm sure that you're counting on some improvement in the paint out of them and continued growth.
You're right. I think that for a team to really have high hopes to go deep in the tournament, you've got to have depth. And for us, our inside depth is exceptional with Neck and Chene, Sarah Booth, Jocelyn Tinkle, Michaela Roof, and all of these players are, upperclassmen, and they know what the battle is out there. They know how tough you have to be and how physical the games can be. And, we're playing another really great schedule, and the development and the contributions of Jocelyn Tinkle and Sarah Booth and Michaela Roof are all going to be very, very critical to our success.
You mentioned that schedule, and it is, as always, very tough. One thing I did notice that I'm sure that you might have preferred is there's a bunch of really strong teams at a conference early, real early. I mean, Gonzaga,
right.
Old Dominion, Texas, and Connecticut, and Xavier, all before Thanksgiving.
Right, and, you know, some of it is, you know, we're not like football where if you lose an early game, you're out of the national rankings, you know, or out of the contention for winning a national championship. We just have to do it that way, and I think that we will be at a disadvantage. I know Texas took an international trip. Connecticut took an international trip. You know, we're on the quarter system. We start a little bit later. But we play these top teams, and we're very excited to play, you know, at Texas and at Connecticut, at Xavier. We've got Gonzaga and Tennessee, and everyone on our schedule. We're very excited about that because we really feel it'll help us get ready for our Pac-12 schedule and also for the NCAA tournament way down the road.
Well, speaking of the Pac-12, which it's going to take forever for me to get used to.
Yeah, me too.
The addition of these extra teams. Now, my first question is, how do you feel about all that's going on with this craziness with the realignment? And the second part of that question is, you have always scheduled such a detailed and difficult out-of-conference schedule. How much impact did adding these new schools like Utah and Colorado affect your schedule planning now that you got to play, since you're playing home and homes against both of them?
Well, you know, I'm excited about the Pac-12, and I think our commissioner Larry Scott has done a great job, and you know, we're very excited about the new teams coming in, Colorado and Utah, and you know, especially, you know, being out in the West, it's hard because there just aren't that many schools to play, so it's good to have, you know, to play these schools twice a year. Or the way it'll work out, we'll still be playing an 18-game kind of, for the most part, double round robin schedule. But I'm excited about it. It won't change really what we're doing in terms of our out of season, our preseason scheduling. You know, we're very excited. We played Tennessee for the last 23 years. We love playing them. We love the competition that we have with Connecticut. You know, a great program, great players, and, you know, gets us a chance to play East and gives them a chance to come out West. You know, we've got a good thing going with Gonzaga. We're going to up that one, and we're really looking to, we've had, you know, other rivalries with Rutgers. We'd like to keep that one going. So, you know, we want to really play against any really good teams. But for us in the West, you know, it's hard because there aren't that many schools compared to the Midwest and the East.
Well, then you schedule these games and you look at the roster this year, and you know, the big thing when you play these top quality opponents is the experience factor. And when you had Kayla and Jeanette and Mel Murphy when she was unfortunately injured a lot last year, but always contributed when healthy, you know, that's going to be a lot to replace, and I don't think I've ever seen six freshmen
program. You're right. Well, you know, we miss, you know, when I look out, you know, the first day of practice was a little weird because no Jeanette, as you said, no Kayla, no Mel Murphy, and we also had, you know, two other seniors, Ashley Seminole and Hannah Donaghy, who they're just not there. And when you have that many seniors, we had five seniors, that really get it, you know, and you're just not worried about things because they, you know, seniors take care of things in the locker room and everything else. But this year's freshmen are exceptional. I'm just kind of just blown away by their maturity, by their work ethic, by their fearlessness. And this is a real special freshman class. So, you know, if we have to have six freshmen, these are the ones to have. And I'm very excited about how well they're doing, and they are going to have to step right in. They're going to be thrown right into the deep end of the pool.
The most heralded, perhaps, is Amber Orange. Now, has she been everything that you would hope for her so far? I know it's early in the preseason.
Right.
What are the chances of her stepping in and really being the point guard right from day one?
Well, you know, she's doing really well, but all six are doing really well. We could have one, two, or even, you know, I think we could have two freshmen in our starting lineup, but more than just our starting lineup, we're going to play a lot of people. Jasmine Camp is doing really well. Bonnie Samuelson, Taylor Greenfield is doing really well. The person I was worried about the most, because she was coming off an ACL, Alex Green, is just really progressing really quickly. And the person that maybe gets buried a little bit because she's playing kind of with the bigs, Erica Payne, is also doing really well. So there's not any of the freshmen who are lagging behind. They're all right in the mix, and that's very exciting.
Well, I'll tell you, you certainly have an ability to go out and get some big bodies, that's for sure, that can play this game.
Well, this time we have some really quick bodies. We're not as big as we were last year, but we're a quicker, kind of a sleeker version of former Stanford teams. We're faster, quicker. I think we can be more aggressive defensively. It will be a young team, but by March, I think we'll be formidable. And that's the challenge, is to grow and improve and, just really see these young people blossom. And that's what I'm excited about.
You know, you sit there and you talk about the people like Kayla, and you talk about Jeanette, and before her, Jane and Candace, and now we're talking about NECA. And, is there any way we could change the rules and get extra years out of them? Because I don't want to see them move on.
Well, if we did that, then we'd probably be playing against Maya Moore for another year. Or,
I wouldn't mind that either.
Well, I'm really excited about NECA's senior year. And, obviously having had Candace for 4 years and Jane and, as you said, Kayla, Jeanette, and Mel, they're just that's just a lucky time in your life when you have players like that, and you just want to enjoy those 4 years that you have them and maximize each day and each opportunity to interact with these really first-class student-athletes.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, now I was just out and listening to the radio, and they were talking about the problems that sometimes you would have in recruiting certain athletes with the academics of Stanford versus, they were comparing it to a Southern Cal. But at the same time, the one thing I was thinking about that you and I started to talk about a little before we were recording was the atmosphere and the football team and everything else that goes with the university itself. Can you talk a little bit about the bit of a dichotomy there, that you do have your restraints, but the school itself has so much more to offer that other schools don't have?
Well, I think every school, has its niche of, students and athletes. And Stanford isn't for everyone, but it's, it's a private school that has about 6,500 undergraduate. And for each class, maybe, you're looking at 1,600 to 1,700. And of all this undergraduate, there's about 800 varsity athletes. So the athletes make up about 1/6 of the class. And, it's athletics at Stanford are a big and important part of the university. And football is doing, extremely well. We're undefeated and, ranked in the top 10. And this is something that we're very excited about. But our soccer team is number one, women's soccer. Our volleyball team is in the top five. They're competing for a national championship. So cross-country routinely wins, national championships, along with our women's water polo won the national championship last year. So the thing is, it's fun to be around excellence. It's fun to be around other coaches, other athletes that are really, they have such high goals and high ambitions, and they're so disciplined. And it's a very competitive place academically, but for the student athletes out there that are really turned on by academics and are turned on by great athletics, this is a great fit.
As a former coach with Coach Harbaugh, did you cringe when he went at it with the other coach in the field?
I love Jim Harbaugh. I love his enthusiasm, and he's someone that. It might have just boiled over a little bit to the wrong person at the wrong time, because the other coach, but he was just so excited. This is, the 49ers, he's brought that enthusiasm and winning to the 49ers. And, I think a lot of people have doubted him. I was never one of his doubters. He is a fabulous coach, and I've learned from him and really enjoyed having him at Stanford and getting to know him and continuing to cheer for him with the 49ers. But, I teased him. I just said, we got to practice your handshakes. But, he just was too enthusiastic. And, You know, like you said, he just went in there too hard. But, you know, he's a great coach and a great friend.
Well, you know, I did mention you're still, you know, New Englander here, so I hope that you're supporting the Patriots as well as we can cut the slack on the 49ers.
As long as they're not playing the 49ers.
Actually, it was interesting that you mentioned all of the other schools because, you know, I always hear about each individual person saying we're going to win this championship and that, but you know, in Candace Wiggins was the first person that I ever saw comment, at least in her Twitter account, about the Director's Cup and that that's what Stanford was all about, was winning that more than any other championship.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, it is about excellence in whatever sport, whether it's, you know, whether it's tennis, who, you know, I mean, our tennis program is, you know, just had incredible success. But this is a place that, you know, there's no such thing as, you know, too much winning. There's no such thing as too much success. I mean, you're always, whether it's whatever team it is, everyone is behind each other, supportive of each other. It's a great environment. You know, I'm really excited for Johnny Dawkins and his team this year, you know, because they had a really young team last year. And this is just a positive place that I love being part of.
Well, now I'm going to put you back in time for a few seconds, and then we'll let you go here. And I want to go back to the Olympics in 96. And my first question is, did you ever have any regrets about taking that year, coming off of the success that you had recently had, to take that 1 year to coach USA basketball?
You know, absolutely not. I love that opportunity. And, you know, who gets a chance to basically take an Olympic sabbatical? You know, I was at Stanford. Let's see, I went in 95. So I'd been at Stanford for 10 years, you know, took a year, had a chance to work with, you know, arguably the finest women's basketball players ever, Teresa Edwards, Dawn Staley, Lisa Leslie, Jennifer Agee, you know, I mean, Cheryl Swoops, Katrina McClain. I mean, the list goes on of just incredible people, you know, working with the assistant coaches I worked with. And for 1 year, it was like all basketball. I loved it. And, you know, Stanford was in great hands. Amy Tucker was the head coach, and she did a great job and has the best record, you know, of any coach at Stanford or in the Pac-10. But, you know, it was the only thing in coming back, I was just exhausted. And I probably should have taken another year off after that, but, you know, that wasn't going to happen. So, but it was a great experience. I loved it, and I really I learned a lot, and I think I grew a lot as a coach. And, you know, and the women that I coached, Ruthie Bolton, they were just fabulous.
Well, and the prelude, that was the prelude to my question that I'd love to get a comment from you. When I spoke to Teresa Edwards, she talked about that team one time, and I asked her if she thought that was the greatest basketball team assembled in women's basketball history. She said it wasn't about basketball. She said what you did was you took a bunch of girls and made them women.
Well, you know, it was a little bit survival. You know, I mean, just the schedule we were on was gruesome. The pressure that we were under, I think, to win a gold medal in our own country after we hadn't, you know, the time before. You know, I loved it. I'm not so sure some of the players, you know, would reflect on it the same way. I mean, it was hard work. But what I saw with, like as an example, Cheryl Swoops, when she joined the program, she could bench 40 pounds. And we really worked hard in the weight room. We worked on the track. We did everything. We covered every base. And going into the Olympics, there was pretty much the folk knowledge would be, well, the Americans are very talented, but, you know, they don't train. They don't work. And once we took the talented players that we had and we trained, it was all over. And it was really exciting to see how good Lisa Leslie and, you know, we trained for a year, how good they became as a unit and how exciting it was. And it was really a great, great experience.
And there's no doubt without that team, there's no WNBA.
Well, I think it was a little bit of the groundwork for the WNBA and at the time the ABL too. So, it really, I think, you know, it brought women's basketball, you know, to the forefront in a new way. And women's sports were so big at the 96 Olympics with our soccer and softball and, you know, and obviously swimming had always had a great following, but the team sports really stepped up. You know, women's basketball, soccer, softball, and, you know, it was an exciting time.
And the last question that I'll ask you is, you know, you look around now, and now you add AZ to it, and, you know, how's it feel? You're getting yourself quite a coaching tree going there between all these head coaches and assistant coaches that you've had coming out of this program.
Well, you know, a lot of them, I think, they don't ever see themselves going into basketball, but they love it so much that they go back to it. You know, a lot of players have gone on to law school or, you know, been engineers, and they realize that they love basketball so much, and, you know, life's short. Let's enjoy playing, you know, coaching basketball because they enjoy playing. And, you know, I'm glad they had a good experience playing and that they want to, you know, give back to a great game. And, you know, it's really fun. It's very excited for Jennifer, and, you know, it's always fun to see Dawn Staley, even though, you know, she wasn't my collegiate. I wasn't her collegiate coach, but, you know, her USA coach a lot. It's to see Teresa Edwards and all these, you know, young women that I coach go into it. And I think some of it is they realize it's not as easy as it looks. So.
Well, it seems like it's certainly a challenge for everybody all over the country. And this year is going to be wide open with everybody. So many great seniors graduated last year, and there's so many great freshmen coming in that it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this year.
It will be. Well, it's a pleasure to speak with you, David, and continue to help promote women's basketball, and, you know, I'm happy to talk to you anytime.
Well, Coach, I really appreciate it. Congratulations again on this past year's success, and good luck generating more success in the future.
Thank you very much.